Numbers 32, verses 33 to 42. The East Bank, the settlement. Well, the tribes have been given the land. Reuben and Gad, and now the half-tribe of Manasseh. And Moses has settled it upon them. And this section here records the way they settled the land. Let's have a look at it. First of all, notice that in verse 33, Moses gave to the Gadites, he gave to the Reubenites, and he gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. He gave this land on the east of the Jordan. So he gave it. But you understand that this is not the end of the story. The whole land was given to them. And then we read this in verse 34, the Gadites built up this. We read in verse 37, the Reubenites built up this. And then we read in verse 39, the people of Manasseh went to Gilead and captured it and drove out this. And then we read in verse 40, so Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites, the descendants of Manasseh, and so on. So there's a mixture here. Moses is giving, but these tribes, these two and a half tribes, they have to fight, they have to build up, they have to struggle, they have to plant the place, they have to work at it. You see, what it is, it's not let go and let God. Oh, God has promised, God has given it to us, we've got it ours, so we just let it all fall into our laps like plums off a tree. No, they're not passive, they're active, they're in a fight, they're in a struggle, they're in a battle. They have to make an effort, they have to toil, they have to labor. It's not a question of just letting go and let God. This comes over into the new covenant. I know we're not under the law of Moses. I know we're not in the old covenant, but we're in the new covenant under the law of Christ. And one part, a principal part of the law of Christ is that we have to engage in a spiritual warfare, not carnal warfare, and not carnal weapons, 2 Corinthians 10, 1-5. But it nevertheless is a real spiritual conflict. And we have to fight. We have to struggle. We have to toil. We have to labor. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13 is very clear. It's not let go and let God. It's God has given. Work out your own salvation, for it's God who works in you. Yes, God does work. God is sovereign. God's promise is sure and so on, but we have our responsibilities. It's a mixture here. It's a mystery, but we're engaged in it. And I see that with the settlement here. Moses gave, the Lord gave, the promise is made, but they don't just sit back and say, oh, well, it'll all come to us in good time. When the Lord wills, God is sovereign. Yes, he is sovereign. And his sovereignty says, if you want that land, you've got to build it up and you've got to fight it. Now, there's a very interesting point here. These people renamed the cities. They gave names to the cities they rebuilt. They changed the names. They gave their own names to it. You read that, for example, in verse 38. You get it again in verse 42 and so on. You get other places as well. What are they doing here? Well, they're obeying the word of God. Exodus 23, verse 13. They must remove all vestige of paganism from their inheritance. What do you mean? Well, these places are often memorials to gods or some pagan deity or something. And they're not going to have anything to do with it. Hosea 2:17 speaks about the names of Baals upon the lips of the people. The Hebrews, when they plant the land with their own dwellings and their own towns and so on, when they build the place up, they want it to be new. It's a new thing. And they've really been in the days of the new covenant. And the principle is in the new covenant that we are separate from the world. And we don't want any connection world. Love not the world or anything in the world. For everything in the world is the fashion of this life. It's not just passing away. 1 John 2, I think it's 15 to 17. This is what we should be like, brothers and sisters. You're going to know what I'm going to say next. Too often the church today is imitating the world, copying the world. We just want to take the world's names. We're taking the world's ideas. We're taking the world's principles. And I think we're pandering to the world, and I think it's idolatry. I'm sure it is. I say think, I'm convinced of it. We're going down that place, to that place where we're copying the world, aping the world, and she become more and more like the world. No, no, these people, this is our land now. Yes, it did belong to Og, and it did belong to Bashan, it did belong to Sihon, it belonged to all these people. It was all this. Now it's our territory. And Balaam's had a go here. You know, they've all had their say around here, all these people. But now it's the Jehovah, it's the Lord, it's the God of the Hebrews. And we're going to name these places in this way. This is our land now. This is God's land. And this is what it's going to be. I know Moab, I know Balaam and Balak were with Moab, but all that influence is all around this place. And of course, when they get to Canaan, they have to do the same there. So, this is the end of the story. Oh, no, it's not. Get into the book of Joshua, chapter 22, and you'll see this is far, far from the end of the story. Remember, I started this little series of discourses on the East Bank by confessing I found it entirely difficult. I spoke on God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. But it's not altogether clear to me. He works his purpose out. It's not altogether clear. Were these tribes right for settling here? God is sovereign, but man is responsible. And there are consequences here. There are shadows being cast here. And I have to learn that. You have to learn it, brother and sister. We all have to learn it. The churches need to learn it. What we're doing today carries a consequence tomorrow and the day after. Well, we've learned today then that though God gives, though it's all settled, we might still have to struggle. We still have to labor. Go toil on. Spend and be spent. Toil. Labor. Thy joy to do the master's will. It is the way the master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Yes, Christ came to do the will of God. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Not let go and let God. That's the first thing. Secondly, all to be separate entirely from paganism and all vestige of it. Let us be marked out as those who are different to the world. Even in our names, even in our talk, in conversation, our way of thinking, our way of life. May our churches be holy, godly places, God-glorifying places. May it all be for the praise and glory of God then. Amen.